Amen. What a blessing to be here. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Let's all stand, please. I want to thank the pastor for giving me the privilege to stand behind this pulpit. It is an honor, and I hope I can be a blessing. Mark, chapter 2. What a time. Celebrate the silver anniversary of Help Ministries. Mark chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Wow, I like that expression. It was noise that he was in the house. Amen. And straightway, many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they lay down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there. I mean, they don't miss the service. And reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they saw reason within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye there these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And right there is the title of my message, we never saw it in this fashion. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Speak to our hearts. We need you, Lord. Please give me English grace, preaching grace. Touch my heart. Speak to my heart. I want to be a blessing to God's people. Help us tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Oh, can we say it again? We never saw it on this fashion. If we read the prior chapter, we see the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went about by the Sea of Galilee and the neighboring villages preaching the good news of salvation. He called his first disciples, Andrew, Peter, John, James, and he healed the sick. And after many days, he comes back home to rest. But soon as he got back home, it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. The house was packed. Many came to be cured. Others came out of curiosity. And some came probably just to criticize. But when the house was filled, he preached the word to them. And while he was preaching, there came a group of people bringing a man sick of the palsy that he was born by four. And when they got to the place, they encountered a problem. They could not bring him in because of the press. So they had to find a way to bring him to Jesus. And a way they found. They went up to the roof and uncovered it. And I like the word, and broke it. And they lay down the bed therein, wherein the sick of palsy lay. I'll give the message in a minute. I'll be brief. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man sick of palsy, "Son," and I can help to think, the first word that came out of the mouth of Jesus was, "Son."
Amen. Amen.
Son. Some people say that it was Peter's house. I believe it was Jesus' house. You believe whatever you want. But you will think that probably he was upset by what they done to the roof of his house. But when but when Jesus saw him, he said, "Son." And as soon as he heard the word, he said in his heart, "I got it! I got it! This is a man of compassion. This man cares. This man loves me." When he hears the word, "Son, son." "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And immediately the scribes began to reason in their hearts and within themselves and say, "This is a blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God only?" And they were partially right. But they did not know that Jesus is God himself. And he has the power, not only in heaven but even on earth, to forgive sins. And Jesus say unto them, man, Jesus was, is something else. Look, he said, "What is it easier? You tell me. To say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk?" And before they could answer him, before they were able to answer him, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go to my house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and they glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion. We never seen anything like it. We never seen this thing done the way it has been done today." And that's, we're talking about health ministers also. Can I say great and mighty things? Preacher, I don't have a watch. Can I borrow your watch? I'm a Mexican, but I won't steal it. I promise you.
I can say that. You cannot say that. Amen. You better watch it. You behave, okay? Can we say, great and mighty things the Lord has done for us? Can we say, great and mighty things the Lord has done for us and through us?
But can I remind you, He has not lost His power.
Amen.
We cannot sit in our laurels. We cannot grow complacent. We want God to do even greater things amongst us, so that we might be able to say, wow, we never saw it in this fashion. I have known the Lord for 49 years. And until this day, He has never ceased to amaze me. He has never ceased to amaze me. He comes up with something greater all the time. All the time. All the time. He's a well that never runs dry. He doesn't run out of ministry, out of miracles. He has not lost any power. He's still God Almighty. If we want to see greater things ahead, and Brother Ron, I believe we can. The Lord has not gotten old or weak. He's still as strong as ever. Humberto is winding down. But not his God. No, my Lord, he's sharp. He's in charge. He's strong still. Has not lost a step. Here we find a group of people. A lot like this. That set aside their own personal needs. Can I say their own problems? Their own occupations. Probably their own differences. To give their time and effort to wipe away the tears of a man that was suffering for a long, long time. Oh, we can get together and do something for the ones that are suffering. We can see greater miracles yet. I believe that this man was brought in because there was one that was in the same situation he was. And the Lord healed him. And he was just waiting. He was just waiting for Jesus to come back to Capernaum to bring this man. Say, well, he did it. What he did for me, he'll do it for him too. And when he found out that Jesus was in the house, he called for help. Hey, come help us. Let's take this man to Jesus. Let's get together and do something. Great and mighty things can be accomplished when a few men come together in one accord and get together to help others. If we want to see people saved, families reunited,
sinners forgiven. If we want to reach other nations, we must get together and have, first of all, compassion. We need compassion. This group was moved with compassion. The word compassion, our pastor couldn't say it any better yesterday. But again, let me repeat it. It means being sympathetic, concerned for the misfortunes of others, feeling sadness and the desire to help. We will bring a lot of happiness and joy to others and even to ourselves if we help others. I don't know if I is correct. I would say 99%. But the Apostle Paul said 100% of the people, they only seek for themselves. And that includes Christians. Most of us are occupied and preoccupied in ourselves instead of others. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He had compassion. Compassion. I give my testimony. I know. I still got time. I always give my testimony, and my life was. I grew up under deep poverty in Mexico, real poor. My father died when I was 8, and it was 7 children in the family, 7 orphan children, and we grew up in poverty, deep poverty, but not only financially, but spiritually. There was no Bible in our house. We didn't know the gospel. There was nothing to look forward. I started drinking alcohol at very early age, and I would lay in the ground, and then all my brothers followed my steps, and then they got introduced into drugs and even crime, prison, and you name it. My life was a misery, steeped in misery. But there was no witness in my neighborhood. There was no church in my neighborhood. And I must say this, Manuel. There was a man named David Chesler from Denver, Colorado. They came to Matamoros because he wanted to start a church. And it happened that the place that they chose was my neighborhood. Let me say something about Brother David. Preacher, this man was partially blind. His glasses, they were so thick. I mean, he can hardly see. He had heart problems. And he had a speech impediment. Please. His appearance was not too appealing. Therefore, when he went on deputation, he couldn't raise any support. He knew just a little bit of Spanish. But one thing that man had, love and compassion for the souls of men. And he came and he got a Mexican to work with him and then came to my house and they preached to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and I got glory on the same. Glory on the same. I thank God for the man of compassion. I went to Bible school, so Brother David couldn't stay much long in Mexico because his health problems and financial problems. So he had to go back to the States
And he went back, I would say, Brother Ron, kind of defeated, thinking that he was a failure. And I never heard from him anymore. One day, I asked a friend, have you seen Brother David? And he said, yeah, he's in the hospital. He don't have many days to live. He's dying. And I got in my old car and drove all the way to Denver, Colorado. I went to see him in the hospital. And when I look at him, he could not even recognize me. He couldn't see much. And I said, David, I'm Brother Humberto. Remember that hippie? Long hair. I used to have hair. And he said, no, it's you. And I told him, I say, Brother David, after I got saved, I led my family to Christ. And all my family now is serving the Lord. Now we got churches all over the place. And that man went home. We went to glory rejoicing that he was not a failure. His effort was rewarded by the Lord. If God can do something for a man like that, yes, can you imagine what he can do with you if you just surrender your life? I'm going to have to skip this and this.
Go ahead.
I don't blame the preacher. I know the preacher. Preacher, if I know you well, if you see that God is saying it, you won't stop.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. I know that. No, we're fine here. But I'm going to honor my word, and I'm going to be a blessing, and I'm going to finish when I need to finish. That's why God has blessed Hope Ministries. Because all the people involved in this ministry, no one is looking for a name or for his own benefit. Can I say that again? No one. If I knew one, I'd tell him. Yes. Mama raised no coward. The men involved in health ministries, no one is looking for a name to make a name for themselves or looking for their own benefit. As a matter of fact, I know some of them resign well-paying jobs like Ron. I know him since he was struggling with the call of God, what to do. There's security, there's safety, there's money in the place that I'm working, but I feel in my heart that I need to get involved in mission. We're looking for the salvation of others. We want to help and reach other nations. We want to send preachers, missionaries, to preach the gospel of Christ so souls will get saved. New churches will be established for the glory of God. This is our purpose. Not only we need compassion, and secondly, we need collaboration. This is a teamwork. We need to work together. There is a strength in unity.
That's right.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Can I say this again? There is a strength in unity. Amen. I have seen, unfortunately, what this unity can do. But thank God I've seen what unity amen. Can do.
Yes,
God uses individuals to lead, but uses the whole church, the whole congregation, to build his church.
There's no doubt that God anoints church leaders to provide vision and leadership and direction in the work of God. But to get the job done, it takes the effort of everybody in the church and the body of Christ. When the church puts together their means, their talents, their efforts to advance the gospel of Christ, the results are incredible. Psalms 133, you know it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he goes on, but then he says, for there the Lord commanded the blessings and even life forevermore.
Amen.
You know where God sends blessings?
Yeah.
And eternal life? Where there is unity working together.
Amen.
We need visionaries, but we need simple workers. We need the goers, but we also need the givers, the senders. We need generals in the headquarters, but we also need boots on the ground.
Yes. Amen.
This is not a one-man orchestra. Some of us are well-known worldwide, but we will be nothing without the help of the rest of God's people.
Amen.
And I thank God for God's people.
Amen.
Let me go to the last one, and I'm done. Not only we need compassion, we need collaboration, but we also need courage, bravery. And I like this one so much that I will say this. If we don't have it, we will never say again, we never saw it on this fashion.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Courage means having the valor to withstand resistance, opposition, not to deter by danger, fear, difficulties, fear, pain or price. Wow. You see, when they came, they encountered a problem. You will never do anything great for God if you don't encounter problems. Every time you try to do something for God, there will be obstacles.
Yeah.
You will face resistance and opposition. Do you think that it has been an easy ride for health ministries? Not in a million years. There have been some opposition. There have been some criticism. And a good share of lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we need people with courage.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
From the pulpit to the pew.
Yes.
People of courage have gone out of style.
Yeah.
We have so many, my Lord, I don't want to use the word sissies, but you forgive me. I was preaching a meeting. I'm not going to tell you where because then you'll know. But Dr. D.A. Waite, Dr. Rescov, Dr. Seiner was there, and so many doctors. I thought I was in the hospital. And I preached. And one school professor from one of the biggest colleges in America. The preacher was well known, renowned, well loved. And I won't say mention his name, not because I'm a coward, but because out of respect. But one of the school professors and the Bible school was there. And when he hear me preach, he say, "Brother Gomez, Dr. Gomez, can you come and preach to our Bible students tomorrow? Do you have time?" And I say, "It'd be my honor." And I went the following day and I preached to the Bible students and I told them the awesome privilege to be called to the ministry. What a privilege we have to be a part of the work of God. But then I stopped preaching to them and I began to preach to the school professors. And I say, "Preachers, you don't know," I told them, "you don't know the damage that you're going to do to these students if you don't take a stand for what is right."
Yeah. Yeah.
We need our young preachers. We need our young people in the church to see us leaders take a stand for something. Don't compromise. Stay with it. I wish I had time to go on and explain all the things that we had to encounter along the way. I'm going to say just briefly, when we saw that they removed the word hell from our Bible in the Old Testament, removed the word Jesus, Lord, Christ, God, over 50 times in the Bible, in the Spanish Bible. I said, we need to do something about it. Yeah. And when we did, the first thing, a missionary called me, and this is what he said. He said, "Brother Gomez, don't you go there. If you do it, you will be destroyed. Your family will be destroyed. Your ministry will be destroyed." Yeah. Wow. Then a preacher came knocking on my door. He was crying to say, "Humberto, I'm just the messenger. I just want to let you know, my wife was there." And he say, "We just want to let you know that if you continue in this, you're no longer welcome in our meetings." I have preached for them, Manuel, you know, for over 25 years. I gave the best time of my life preaching my heart to him. And me and my wife, we cry and cry and cry. It was painful. But we cried not as a discouragement. We cried because we love these people. We love them dearly. And me and my wife got together and say, "Honey, we're going to stay together. We're going to do it for the glory of God. And we will never speak evil against nobody. We will not fight nobody. We're not fighting with God's people. We're fighting for God's people. We want to have them, we want them to have a good Bible. They're discomparable to the King James Bible." And let me say this. Already more than 6 million copies of the whole Bible have been printed and published and distributed all over the world. There's thousands of people getting saved every single day in every single country. Amen. A company just sent me a chip. Brother Dale Cable. They sent me a chip. They made our Bible in a small ship to take it to Cuba. And they can listen to it and they can open it and print it in just a small ship. To God be the glory. And by the way, we don't take a single penny on it. You want to do something for God, you will find resistance. I got 2 more minutes. I'm done. We need people. Brave. Courageous.
to come out with solutions when there's a problem. They found a problem. You know, most of us will do. We give up. Say, well, at least we give it a try.
Yeah.
And we give up. And the slightest, the minus opposition, we say, well, we tried. No, didn't we? May God help us.
Yes. Yes.
I want to see in the future all of us to be able to say, wow, we never saw it in this fashion. He still can do it. God bless you.